Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor this podcast. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote business in the Monte Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communication among the residents and guests of the Monte Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monte Vista. That's 947 First Avenue in Monte Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montevistachamber.org. That's montevistachamber.org. In this time where some businesses are starting to open up but others remain closed, what can you do to keep your business going? If you have questions about loans versus grants, what's available locally, what the difference between EIDL, PPP, and SBA debt relief is, what the variance in Rio Grande County means, listen as Jason Medina, director of the San Luis Valley Small Business Development Center, explains all of this and a lot more.
I'm Adam, and we're going to do something a little bit different on this podcast. I want to introduce to you Chelsea McNierney Martinez. Chelsea is with Valley Publishing Advertising, and she's going to be my co-host for this particular podcast. So, Chelsea, welcome to SL Voices.
Well, thank you for having me, Adam. I really appreciate it.
In this podcast, we're talking with Jason Medina. Jason is the new director of the San Luis Valley Small Business Development Center. We certainly welcome you to SL Voices too, Jason. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Jason, let's just get a little quick background. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What did you do before becoming the Small Business Development Center director here?
I guess my resume is a little eclectic. I've done just a little bit of everything in the last 24 years. Mostly the last 24 years have been focused in helping Colorado children, youth, and families. So I've spent about 7 years in public education. I spent about 6 years in local government. And I also was in public housing for around 10 years. I also own my own small business. And I think that really lent to why I might have been a good fit here for the directorship for the San Luis Valley Small Business Development Center. That entrepreneurial spirit, as well as my background in helping folks out and a degree in psychology, altogether may have been, like I say, a selling point for me to be here. I have always had a passion for helping out rural communities, and I see this as a real good avenue to be able to help out, most especially the small businesses in a typically underserved area like the San Luis Valley. And when I say underserved, that doesn't mean that the resources haven't been there. It's just typically an area that the engagement hasn't really been focused on minority businesses, small businesses. And it's really hard to have an agency in Denver see all the ins and outs, the shortfalls and shortcomings that small business in the San Luis Valley would have as opposed to lower downtown. And so because I am a native and a local, I think that that really lent again to why I would have been a good fit for this position. So I'm really appreciative for the opportunity. My real goals are to strengthen the economic development in our areas while still keeping intact that cultural identity that this valley has had for 150 plus years now.
Well, let's face it, it's a very unique area too. We're talking over 8,000 square miles, a population of roughly 50,000 or so, and we're all spread out over a great big area. It's a very unique area. You're right. I don't know that Denver or other big cities really understand us here.
You're right. And so the San Luis Valley is 6 adjacent counties.
Mm-hmm.
Alamosa, Costilla County, Conejos County, Mineral County, Sawatch County, and obviously Rio Grande County, last but not least. Each one have their own unique identity, but all of them are still really connected in their culture and in their values and really in their history. So it is very unique and not at all like any of the real urban areas of Colorado.
Well, how did you become director of the Small Business Development Corporation?
So again, I saw that the position was open. Previously, I was the land use administrator down in Costilla County. And I liked the position there. Although it was a local government position, I really felt that I had the opportunity to be able to help those in need. In that particular position and in that occupation, I was really limited to only being able to help folks in certain communities. When I saw this opportunity to be able to really expand that opportunity to help, I really thought that it was something that I wanted to pursue. Again, I believed that being a business owner and being a local really lent, like I say, to the fact that I could probably connect with and reach out to a lot of these smaller communities that prior to this directorship were a little hesitant to reach out for help. That is just part of our culture. We are definitely, as residents of the San Luis Valley, we are very much survivors. You don't move to a place that gets down to minus 25 degrees for 2 weeks in a row every year. And you don't live in a place that has the title of being the poorest counties in Colorado unless you are absolutely a survivor. So my families have been here for at least four generations on one side and six generations on the other side, and actually came up from northern New Mexico, which we can trace back seven or eight generations from there. I think that that's pretty comparable as far as being able to live in a place that has very small resources when it comes to money, but grand resources when it comes to the best water, the best soil, culture, and those things that maybe money doesn't necessarily buy.
Having grown up in the North and lived in the South for several decades, the Western mindset is very independent.
Absolutely. And I think the rest of the world still believes that this is the wild, wild West. That's somewhat true, although this is the wild, wild West with rules. And so that being important as a guide to be able to figure out how we do this, again, while maintaining the real cultural identity, is somewhat of a task, but I think it's definitely necessary to make sure that we maintain who we are.
Let's talk a little bit about the Small Business Development Center here. First, what are your overall goals and objectives?
The Small Business Development Center is part of a network. There are over 20 centers in Colorado, and SBDCs are actually nationwide. Every SBDC is actually under the federal umbrella of the Small Business Administration, which is the SBA. SBA basically gets funds that they send to every state, and then the state makes sure that there are centers that are able to provide resources to every region in their state. So the money is given to the Office of OEDIT, which is the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. So that is my federal and state oversight. And then most SBDCs have a local oversight or a host institution. Our host institution happens to be the San Luis Valley Development Resources Group, the DRG. And so those partnerships all come together to be able to create SBDCs, to be able to really focus on being that resource for small businesses. So what is an SBDC? SBDC is basically a center that provides, at no cost, business counseling for folks who are starting businesses and for existing businesses. That can look very different in different industries and for different programs. It starts off with having a really comprehensive business plan, be able to help with financial projections, and also to be able to just really gain hold or get a better hold of business operations by doing a lot of different things. So our programming really provides some education for business owners or people who are starting or wanting to start businesses, and just making sure that there are relevant and viable resources for businesses to make sure that they are ready for capital when they're starting up, that they are able to manage a regular day and a crisis like we're going through right now, and then better plan for the future, whatever that future might be.
How do you work with the DRG? Like, how do they oversee the Small Business Development Center, and how does the DRG help local businesses?
So again, DRG is our host institution. That doesn't just mean we are housed in their building. The DRG very much guides how we are able to help small businesses. Development Resources Group is really a group of a lot of different organizations and programs, specifically for the San Luis Valley and their economic development and cultural development as well. The DRG has a couple of different organizations within them, including the COG, which is the Council of Governments, The COG is actually a group of your local county commissioners and other governmental agencies that have all come together to really have a group that can speak for the entire San Luis Valley and make really good decisions therein. There are other agencies like the Community Foundation, SLV Go. DRG also houses folks from DOLA, which is the Department of Local Affairs. And so it's really this congregation of folks to come together to be able to really be a great resource again for the San Luis Valley as a whole. The DRG has lenders and works with lenders to be able to fund in a revolving loan fund basic structure. Again, to make sure that the underserved and areas that typically aren't economically strong, to make sure that they have resources to get them to that point. Again, the San Luis Valley is home to at least two of the, if not the two, lowest income or the poorest counties in Colorado. And sometimes what that means with the trickle-down effect is that Denver and Colorado Springs get a lot of the monies that come through, and a lot of our counties like Costilla, Rio Grande, Conejos are left out of some of that stuff. And so it's really the goal for DRG to make sure that there are those funding opportunities and just really support that these smaller communities need in our valley. And they've done a really great job of that. There's been over $10 million worth of programs that they've put together. I think there are over 700 jobs that were created. And this is since the 1980s, and over 100 businesses that have been created. So that's huge for a small, underserved community like ours.
Where is your office physically located at? We've talked about some of the organizations and the areas that you serve and who you work with. So I guess, how do people find you?
We are physically located at 610 State Ave, which is in the big depot building. It used to be the old Rio Grande Railroad Depot. Again, we're right on the corner of State Ave and 6th Street, which is the only one way to get back out of Alamosa now. But again, we're basically right on the corner of the railroad tracks and State Ave. This office is Suite 101. So as soon as you come into the depot, we are first office that you see. So that's where we are physically located. How you contact me are a couple of different ways. First of all, we do have a Facebook site, and it's facebook.com/SLVSBDC for San Luis Valley Small Business Development Center. My contact information, if you wanted to give me a call, is 719-589-3682. You can visit our website, which is slv-sbdc.com. And if you wanted to email, you could email me at jason@slv-sbdc.com.
And of course, all this information will be on the podcast page too. So anybody needs to reference the page and certainly reach out to Jason in the Small Business Development Center here. Jason, you know, we're living in an unprecedented time right now with this whole COVID-19 situation, and many local businesses, have been temporarily shut down or are operating with a minimum amount of staff. And of course, there's a lot of information available on a higher level regarding the future of our area. But I mean, let's face it, some businesses are struggling right here, right now. Can we talk about what's available immediately to help our small local businesses here in Monte Vista and the surrounding towns? For example, what loans are available and through who?
So there are a variety of loans and grant opportunities at the federal, state, and local level. So we'll start with the federal level. So obviously, the CARES Act was passed at the beginning of March. CARES actually stands for Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economical Support or Stimulus. The CARES Act is basically funded through the U.S. Treasury, through SBA, and through EDA, who's the Economic Development Association. Within the SBA loans are really four different types of loans. The first type is the EIDL loan, which is EIDL. It's the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. SBA has put that out to be able to help businesses get through this crisis. There are opportunities to get up to $2 million in funding, but they are basically for small businesses, 500 employees or smaller. Part of the EIDL loan is what's called the EIDL Advance. The EIDL Advance is up to $10,000 of real emergency money. Some of those EIDL advances have come through as quickly as 72-hour turnaround. So that is really, again, some very emergent funding that has been able to help businesses get through today. What's kind of neat about the EIDL advance program is that it is a forgivable loan. They don't want to call it a grant because it is really not a grant. It is part of the loan itself. But what forgivable means is that they're not asking you to pay that part back. So somebody could apply for the EIDL and the EIDL advance, get up to $10,000 in emergency money. And if you were approved for the big EIDL loan, you could do one of two things. You could either accept the EIDL loan. They are 3.5% loans for for-profit businesses or 2.5% loans for nonprofit businesses. And the terms can go all the way out to 30 years. So although it is a loan, there are very low annual percentage rates. And again, 30 years is a really long time to be able to repay the loans. So that's the EIDL and the EIDL advance. SBA has always had another two different loans, the Express Loan and the SBA Debt Relief Loan. The Express Loan is basically a bridge loan that is, again, some emergency monies to be able to get while you are waiting for another loan through SBA or other programs. And the debt relief has existed, but really is come to the forefront now with this COVID response. That is basically if you already had an SBA loan, specifically a 7A loan or some kind of small business loan through SBA, they are allowing deferred payments and restructuring options to be able to get through this crisis without having to worry about how you're paying back in this. So those are SBA loans. As far as the state is concerned, OEdit has a great page that I will share with you as well as giving you the link. Again, OEdit is the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. They really kind of congregated about 180 different funding sources specifically for Colorado businesses. There are definitely state-centric opportunities out there. And then at the local level, there are also some other funding opportunities specifically for your communities and for our communities in the San Luis Valley. The DRG, obviously, which is, again, my local oversight, has a couple of different funding opportunities. The EDA CARES Act or loan program comes directly from the Economic Development Association. The DRG has applied for and are pretty sure that they are going to be acquiring up to $800,000 for our communities to be able to provide low interest loans. Some of them are 5 to 7 year terms and less than 2% interest, which again is very doable for a lot of businesses, even those who are struggling right now and not necessarily want to get themselves in debt. And then the DRG has also partnered with OEdit and CHAFA for some other programs, loan funds that are coming out. That will be somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000. And it's really a recovery loan. So they will have to be used within 24 months. Typically, it would be the first 12 months would be a 0% loan. And then the next 12 months would be about a 2% loan. Those things are still coming down the pipeline and not all of the details are set in stone, but all of those will be coming through here very quickly. Also, the First Southwest Community Fund has come up with a bunch of different options specifically for rural areas and then some that are specific to our counties here in the Valley. They do have the Emergency Loan Fund. Any business, startup, or nonprofit that are within the six counties of the San Luis Valley would qualify for them. You have to at least be in business for 1 year of operation. And most of these are, I'll just go back just really quickly. So the EIDL loan, again, is an economic injury disaster loan. You will have to prove to be able to qualify for that, that you are in business February and March of 2019. And what they're really looking for is how are you doing in February and March of 2019, as opposed to February and March of 2020, when this crisis happened, when you may have been forced to close or when your business is probably taking a hit from this. Likewise, the First Southwest Community Fund has come up with a program. It is for between $5,000 to $10,000, 2.5% interest, and 7 year term. Again, those are not 50 states that are vying for the same pots of money. So it's very localized and it's making sure that our local communities, Monta Vista and all of Rio Grande County included, have the benefit of being able to apply for a loan that is specific to this area. There are some new things that came out. DRG now has a San Luis Valley Business Utility Support Fund that is specifically for businesses in the San Luis Valley who are having issues with paying their utilities during this time. Utilities can include lights, water, gas. There are applications that are available right now, and this is brand new. If you want information about that, please contact me and I can get you in touch with the right folks. Basically, it is a check that is written directly to your utility company to be able to help you pay for those things. The COVID-19 Rapid Response is a whole partnership from First Southwest Community Funds, the Zoma Foundation, the Katina Foundation, and also the Gates Family Foundation. They have put up $3 million to be able to help local businesses get through this COVID-19 response. There are loans that vary from $10,000 to $100,000, 2.5% interest, 7-year terms. And it's really only specific for rural areas. So Denver does not get the opportunity to apply for these, and Colorado Springs and Pueblo do not get the opportunities to apply. So again, federal, state, and local, there are a lot of opportunities for funding out.
I was going to say, you have given a whole list of different things. Where does a business start? You've got these things in the state level, the federal level, the local level. You know, I'm a local business owner, and I don't even know where to begin. What do? Call you first?
Yeah, so that would be the logical first step. Understand that a lot of folks don't necessarily want to get into a loan, most especially when they are in a position right now where they are already either hurting for money or getting in debt because of this crisis and the response. And so sometimes loans aren't necessarily appealing. But you're right. The first step is to get a hold of me. Every industry, every business has their own specific needs. Some businesses are doing just fine through all of this. Your local grocery stores have been able to stay open to provide those essential services. And most of them are doing okay through this. Obviously, restaurants, the lodging industry, anything that has to do with event coordination. And Adam, you know that better than the rest of us.
Yeah.
Those industries are taking a huge hit. Again, the response for your business will probably be totally different than somebody else's. And so I guess the first step is to get a hold of me. We can talk about what your specific business is going through right now, where you see a viable option to be able to stay afloat during this might be for you. Some of those are funding opportunities. Some of them are loans. Obviously, there are some grants for certain things. But again, a loan is not necessarily what every business needs to be able to get through this. What you really need to do is you need to focus on your business and what's going to be able to get you through. One first good step would be to get a hold of the Small Business Development Center.
There are a lot of different loan options for people to consider, obviously, on a lot of different levels. What are some things small business owners should be aware of before taking out a loan?
So great question. Again, if you are already incurring debt, or if this crisis has caused you to have opportunities that you are losing potential income, there are definitely other things besides loans that you should be doing and best common practices that you should be doing. Nobody wants to get into more debt than they can handle. I did not bring up the PPP loan because PPP loans are specific to folks who have employees who are not able to work during this crisis. So that loan may or may not fit your particular business. There are some businesses that really won't qualify. The type of loan is absolutely something that you should look into before you put in an application. Let's talk about the PPP loan really quick. PPP stands for Payroll Protection Program, and it is part of the CARES Act. It is specific for employers who cannot keep their workers employed during this crisis. What it is basically is a loan from a local lender through SBA. So it's an SBA guaranteed loan, but they're handled through local banks. Typically, local banks in the Valley have only been able to help folks who they have already had a working relationship with or that they've had a commercial account with. What it is, in essence, is 2.5 months worth of payroll that is given to a business owner to be able to bring back their folks or to keep their folks employed. Does that work for every business out there? No. I've heard specifically from folks in the lodging industry. So part of this PPP loan is that you have 8 weeks to be able to use this money to put 75% back into your employment costs or payroll costs. Payroll costs would be everything from your wages to any kind of benefits. If you use a payroll company to be able to pay your folks out, all of those can be considered payroll costs. But the issue, like with the lodging folks, in the next 8 weeks, all of the events that would typically fill all of their rooms have been canceled. And so how do you bring your folks back if you're not going to have people in your rooms in the next 8 weeks? So there have been a couple of different ingenious ways that people have been able to figure that out. Do your rooms need a coating of paint? You can bring your folks back to slap some paint on. Do you need some kind of work on the outsider landscape? But again, that doesn't necessarily work for all programs or all industries. And so it's really important for business owners to understand that loans are available out there they just might not be what you need to survive this. So what do you need to survive this? It's really important to only focus on what you can control. You cannot control how long people are going to need to stay home. You cannot control what your local governments, state governments, or otherwise are going to pass down as far as guidance after the 28th. So really, most of the variances, which we'll talk about in a minute, most of the foreseeable events that we can see now, they can change at any time. And this information that I'm giving you today is relevant today, but can change at any time. And this is a really dynamic situation. So do you want to get yourself into a loan? It's really important that you understand what that means. And if that means that you are going to get yourself in a worse financial or economic situation, then that's not what you want to do.
Are there grant programs or other programs that you know of for businesses that aren't specifically loans?
Locally, First Southwest Community Fund had some micro grant loans that they awarded to, I believe there were 12 businesses in the San Luis Valley who were able to acquire some of that money. Again, those were small grants, $1,000 to $5,000 that, a grant is not meant to be paid back. Again, OEDIT has put together this really comprehensive list of both loans and grants. But there are a lot of foundations out there that are giving monies. There are a lot of big businesses. For instance, Verizon put out a $10,000 grant for local small businesses in Colorado. So there are a lot of grant opportunities. The unfortunate part about grant opportunities is usually they are industry focused. And so not all businesses will qualify. Again, if you were not in business in February and March of 2019, quite possibly you wouldn't be eligible for a lot of the grant opportunities out there. Are they out there? Yes. It takes a little bit of homework on the business owner side, but we cut out a lot of that work, and OEDIT has really done a great job with cutting out a lot of that work. So yes, there are grant opportunities. It really depends on what your industry is and what you're looking for.
So in the loan and the grant programs that you discussed and some of the resources that you discussed for small businesses here, which ones are the most likely to be distributed locally and the fastest?
So I would definitely say that the main local opportunities for funding would be through First Southwest Community Fund and also the DRG locally. And so because they are specific to San Luis Valley businesses, those are probably the ones that I would recommend to apply for first. Now, the SBA advance loan, absolutely. If you are a business who has been in business for over a year, those are definitely requirements and qualifications. Most of these do not go off of credit scores. And I can tell you, so the Development Resources Group, DRG, works a lot on character loans. And really what they're trying to find out is your ability to pay back. Has your business been in business for longer than this year? And do you have the ability to pay back without having a 720 credit score and $100,000 in the bank? Most folks who have a 720 credit score and $100,000 in the bank don't need help from local funding opportunities. But also most of the small business owners that are out there don't have those luxuries. And so again, what's immediate and what's local, I would say, first of all, are the DRG and the First Southwest Conservation Fund. But local chambers of commerce have also come up with a lot of funding opportunities and just resources that are pretty immediate. So this emergency loan fund, the utility loan funds that we talked about, those are the ones that a person, a business owner, probably wants to try to get an application in first and foremost, because those are local, those are pretty immediate, and those will get you through today's crisis rather than looking a month down the line and see how things are going to go.
Rio Grande County has received a variance from the State Health Department allowing some businesses to reopen with some pandemic safety restrictions, of course, in place. What business types can reopen, and what are those restrictions right now?
Most counties who are really trying to focus on reopening, again, this is a soft reopening. While this safer at home directive has been given by Governor Polis, they have had to create variance procedures that they had to send over to the governor's office to make sure that they could continue providing businesses with the opportunity to reopen. So Rio Grande County did get their variance approved, or it was approved on the 16th and made available on the 19th of May. There were really four industries or four focuses for businesses in Rio Grande County that these variances would apply to. And they are restaurants, places of worship, RV parks, and physical fitness or gyms. There are real basic variances that were granted for all four of those. And they are this: 30% capacity. So basically, if you were a restaurant and had 10 tables that you were able to use on a good day, you could only use 3 of them. If you were an RV park and you had 10 spaces, you could only use 3 of them now. Again, to promote social distancing and to promote the ability to be able to stay safe and apart from people, but allow reopening. That is also for places of worship, and that is also for gyms. Something else that is really common for all 4 of those that was granted in this variance are that folks who are coming in are asked to wear personal protective equipment, including masks. Patrons will be asked if they are exhibiting symptoms of COVID-19 or coronavirus. And if they are, they will not be allowed to enter or participate in these particular places or businesses. And also that the employer is making sure that their employees are being tested regularly or being monitored regularly for showing symptoms of COVID. And again, all of this is in a response, but also to make sure that if you are opening up your business, that you are doing it safe. Anywhere that there is a line in any one of those businesses, the business owner is asked to put lines every 6 feet to maintain that social distancing. Take, for instance, in restaurants. Restaurants are asked to use basically throwaway menus and utensils and plates and cups. Bars are not allowed to reopen, even if they are part of the actual business itself. Any kind of self-serving stations are closed. If you are a buffet and you want to continue providing that buffet type service, it is not something that the patron can come in and serve themselves. It would have to be an employee serving those things. So again, it's to eliminate the spread of any kind of virus if that was going on inside of your place. In places of worship, communion should be something that is a non-contact service. In gyms, they've asked that there is at least one piece of equipment separating the people that are in there, again, to maintain this social distancing. RV parks, they want to make sure that their showers are completely clean. In gyms, they are not allowing locker rooms. They are not allowing saunas. They are not allowing swimming pools to be open. Even with the directives for safer at home, they want to make sure that if businesses are opening, they're opening up safely and they're maintaining all of these strategies to be able to stop the spread.
Jason, how are you continuing to support businesses as the restrictions and conditions continue to change?
Great question. So we had a whole lineup of programming for the 2020 year. The Alamosa Chamber of Commerce and the other chambers of commerce, including Monte Vista, Sawatch, and the Economic Development Councils, Upper Rio Grande, Alamosa, and Costilla County. We have all come together at one time or another last year to get programming ideas of how we provide trainings for our businesses. With this new response and this new crisis, all of that has changed for a lot of different reasons. The regular programming topics are totally different this year. We're moving more towards best practices to be able to get through this next part of this and maybe the next wave of this crisis. So where it used to be basic financial literacy and curb appeal and how to use QuickBooks or good marketing strategies, what it's really changed into is what are going to be the new normal best business practices. So what we're really going to be focusing on this year as a way to be able to be a good resource and to be able to support local businesses is how we're going to be changing our program. That will definitely be talking about cash flow. On a good day, what does your cash flow look like? On a bad day, what does your cash flow look like? And during a pandemic, what is your cash flow? It is very important if you're not making good investments or you're not making any investments, which a lot of small businesses don't have the opportunity to do. How are you conserving cash flow on a good day? And what is that going to equate into when you actually have a forced closure? Do you have business interruption insurance? If you have just a regular old insurance for a good day, or you have disaster insurance for a fire or flood, those don't necessarily cover when you are having a forced closure because of a crisis like this. Do you have contingency planning? So I have a budget for a normal good day. But do I have money budgeted for a forced closure, for having to buy more personal protective equipment for my employees? When I used to order 200 pounds of beef, and now I can only order 100 pounds of beef, but it's not necessarily from the same entities. What does that look like? And do I have a plan for that? And something that we probably never canceled before, that we are going to have to be able to support our local businesses with after this crisis, is really succession planning. What does that mean? Succession planning can be everything from, I am an owner, I've had enough, it's time to retire. What do I do with my business to keep it open? Which could include employee ownership models, which means I've had somebody that's been working for me for 10 years. They know this business just as well as I do. They have a little bit more time ahead of them to be able to plan for this. How do I get my employees to be able to turnkey and take my business over? Another really stark reality is my business going to be able to survive? And sometimes that answer is going to be no. It's the ugliest thing that a consultant wants to be able to counsel businesses through. But you also need to be, without being pessimistic, you really have to be realistic and understand that instead of myself stressing myself out, getting into more debt than I could ever think of, and really having to bow out unsuccessfully, how do you think about getting out of your business and still be in the positive? Sometimes that looks like shining up your store or shining up your equipment and looking to resell it so that you actually have some money to be able to get out of it and really looking forward at exit strategies. Again, that's not something that prior to February of this year that you would even be counseling small businesses on, but it's an absolute reality. And so how is your business going to evolve in this evolving economy? That's what the SBDC wants to be able to do this next year to support our local businesses. It's not a one-size-fits-all. One industry and one business are not going to have the same strategies or need the same strategies to be able to get through this. And so how do we promote you being able to get out of this in the most positive and constructive way?
And again, something to reach out to you to discuss. This is why you're here, your Small Business Development Center. You said you're going to field even the tough questions. Is it really time to close or not? And you can give these people good, strong advice on that. So we appreciate that.
What are some of the positive factors or other positive changes that you've seen locally that's come about because of the COVID-19 crisis? The businesses or local governments or some of the other entities that you work with should keep practicing in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. Again, because we are survivors, our communities have really come up with some real groups that are focused on surviving, that are focused on not only the recovery part, but the sustainability part. And that looks a little different for a lot of different counties. I think Rio Grande County is very strong. I think their businesses have been very resilient in all of this. And resilient is one thing, but sustainability is another. So after this, how do you continue to move forward? One thing that I've seen that has been really awesome that's come out of this that I hope continues, the SLV Business Task Force has been created. It has really turned from putting out fires to moving towards recovery and recovery efforts right now. I really hope that task force like that are continuing to be created and sustained to be able to make sure that our businesses have ongoing support and resources. Relevant information. As you all know, too much bad information to go out there. I don't want to use fake media or fake news. But just your Facebook friends will throw information out there that really isn't relevant that people really believe. So task force like that have done a really good job of making sure that rumor mills have been stopped, that the bad information has been kept out, and that the real relevant information and that the changing information has been out. So I really hope task force like that can continue to grow. One thing that we've really been supporting is a website called SLV Support Local. What that has been is any business in the San Luis Valley is able to be a partner in this. It doesn't cost them anything. What it allows is that their information can be shared on a website. People can shop online. People can buy gift certificates. And also people out there who have the opportunities can actually sponsor a business. And so those opportunities, as well as SL Voices, are going to be moving forward with some podcasts to be able to help market the folks out there who haven't necessarily had their voices heard. So I hope that that continues, and I know it will with Adam's support. It just seems like the community has really come together as a community. Tom Monaco, who is my predecessor here at SBDC, has this really great story. The San Luis Valley is really the only region in the state that identifies as a region. So you can say I'm from the North Corridor or I'm from the Western Slope, and you don't necessarily know what that means. But when you say the San Luis Valley, everybody knows what the San Luis Valley is. And I hope that that community stays the same. And his whole story is, it's kind of like sibling rivalry. Our communities can kind of fight within one another, but when it comes down to it and somebody else comes to pick on your little brother, now we're a group of folks who you're trying to pick on. And so we are very cognizant of that, and we are very supportive of each other. And I hope that that continues through this. I think there's this real awakening that's going on. There's been too much division before all of this. And so I really hope that moving out of this crisis and moving forward, that we all understand that we are a community, that we are a very cohesive group of six counties, and that we continue with that relationship and that cooperation.
I want to add too, Jason, let's not forget Valley Publishing. You know, if you're looking for down-to-earth news, you want to know what's really going on, look to your local news sources, not social media. I mean, there's a lot of information on there, but as you said, there's a lot of confusion that can be spread too. So look for your local news sources that are known, reliable sources for the actual information.
Our local media has done the hard work for us, right? Mm-hmm. They get information and they get vetted information that they give out to you. They are not continuing with the rumor mill, and they are not trying to spread conspiracy theories and other things that aren't really relevant to what's really going on. And so we really do appreciate Valley Publishing and just about everybody out there who is providing really relevant, vetted, real-time information and keeping it relevant. Even with these variances, they're only good until this safer at home order has been either lifted or changed. We will know that on the 28th of this month. Governor Polis will come back out again and let us know if this is going to continue or if we're moving into a different phase. Governor Polis went from a stay-at-home order to a safer-at-home order because there really does need to be a progression of how we move forward towards our new normal. It won't be the same normal, but we need to understand that with this evolving world and this evolving economy, that we are also going to have a new normalcy. And so to make sure that the information that gets out that is real time and vetted, we really do appreciate our local sources of media. And so Valley Publishing is absolutely that, and we appreciate you.
Chelsea, anything else?
I think you covered a lot. I just wanted to say I appreciate you guys supporting Valley Publishing, and I appreciate SL Voices putting all this work in. And yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, both SL Voices and ourselves at Valley Publishing, we have years of reputation to stand on. Whereas, you know, your social media friends don't particularly have that. So if you want to find accountable information, we're good resources for that. So that's right. Thank you for everything that you've been providing for the local businesses. And thank you for looking for ways to help everybody get through this.
And I just want to give a couple of plugs for some really good information out there. Again, these folks are really making sure that they are continuing to keep up the real-time information that business owners need. So first of all, OEdit has choosecolorado.com, specifically /COVID-19 after all of that. Really great resources for Colorado businesses, period. This is not for the rest of the world out there. This is specifically for Colorado businesses. choosecolorado.com/COVID-19. Obviously, slv-sbdc.com, slvdrg.org. That is for Development Resource Group. Obviously, sba.gov is for the Small Business Administration. That's where you go to apply for the EIDL Advance, and any other Express Bridge loans or SBA debt relief. You always want to make sure that you are in touch with your local chambers of commerce. In Monta Vista, you have montavistachamber.org. Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is probably the most well-oiled machine that I have been involved with. And that's not saying anything about any other chambers of commerce. But the group of folks out there are so interested in making sure that they are a great resource for you as a Monta Vista business or just about anybody in Rio Grande County. The Department of Local Affairs has come up with the Colorado Resiliency Office, and that is statewide to be able to help with moving forward during and after this crisis. And their website is coresiliency.com, specifically /COVID-19. And that is incredible. And also slvemergency.org. We are talking about business health, but when you talk about the real COVID crisis and how our communities are able to move through this and to get really updated information about positive cases, about what each community and your county specifically is doing to combat the COVID-19 epidemic and virus and crisis intervention, you definitely want to check out slvemergency.org. You can also sign up for alerts on that. So they will send you stuff on your computer and on your phones. But those are just really a couple of the really great resources of folks who are doing their best to maintain really good, vetted, relevant information for you as business owners and for anybody living in the San Luis Valley.
And again, a lot of that information will be linked on the podcast page too, making it available for everybody else. Chelsea, closing comments?
Besides calling you as soon as they're done listening to this podcast, what is one business practice that, regardless of industry, people can put into practice right now to help them recover and help them keep going?
I would say establish a really good relationship with your local Chamber of Commerce and or local Economic Development Council. Those folks are putting in overtime hours and do not take a day off to make sure that they are your local, specifically for your area, resource for small businesses. And so before I say make a good relationship with a lender or have a good plan in place, I would definitely say have a great relationship with your local Chamber of Commerce. They are doing the legwork to make sure that your business and their entire community is being supported out there. So that would be the number one thing that I'd say takeaways.
Well, Jason, I want to thank you so much for taking so much time and talking to us about what's going on. This is, again, as you said, a very dynamic situation. It's constantly changing. There's a lot of information out there. Certainly vet through the information, read into it, research if you need to. And if you're looking at business issues, business problems, you need a loan, certainly we urge people to reach out directly to you. Your contact information will be on the page here, slv-sbdc.com. Your contact information is there. Also, certainly want to thank you, Chelsea, from Valley Publishing, for joining us to co-host this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank both of you for allowing this opportunity. I can see this probably being something that we might need to do if the orders change, if any of this information changes. Again, I think the common goal is to make sure that local businesses have the most up-to-date real-time information. And so I look forward to doing this again.
Absolutely. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The San Luis Valley Small Business Development Center in Alamosa is here to serve our entire area. They offer free business consulting and training that maximizes the economic potential of entrepreneurs within the South Central Colorado region. Reach out to Jason Medina today at 719-589-3682. That's 719-589-3682. Their office is in the depot at 610 State Avenue. Visit slv-sbdc.com. That's slv-sbdc.com for more information.
The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor this podcast. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote business in the Monte Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communication among the residents and guests of the Monte Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monte Vista. That's 947 First Avenue in Monte Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montevistachamber.org. That's montevistachamber.org.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.